Four strong storms are slamming California. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantore.
It's pretty much all of California, especially Southern California, where we've already had mudslides this morning and vehicles trapped in high water. It just never seems to end there.
The widow of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny posted a video to YouTube with a promise, her message through an interpreter.
The most important thing we can do for Alexei and for ourselves is to go on fighting. I will continue Alexei Navalny's work.
The U.S. is also considering additional sanctions against Russia over his death. And
this is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Heavy rains causing more concern in already saturated California today, where CBS LA reporter Rick Montanez reports from Ventura.
The hillsides, they are saturated from previous storms, so it's very easy to see a lot of runoff come off these foothills, and in some cases it could go right into the lanes of traffic.
Fire Captain Tony McHale's in Ojai.
There's lots of hillsides, lots of falling rocks and trees, so the roads are very hazardous, plus there's some flooding in the lower lying areas. So again, we like to urge people to stay off the roads if they can.
At least 9 people died in storms earlier this month. Police have arrested a man they believe killed 2 people at the University of Colorado. Here's CBS's Peter King.
The accused killer is a 25-year-old man from Detroit and that he knew his victims. The university says only one of the 2, a 24-year-old man, was a student there. The other, a 26-year-old woman, was from Pueblo.
President Biden is urging House Republicans to pass critical aid for Ukraine in the wake of opposition leader Alexei Navalny's death. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
The way they're walking away from the threat of Russia, the way they're walking away from NATO, the way they're walking away from meeting our obligations, it's just shocking.
But while Mr. Biden hopes his death will make a difference in nudging them to take up Ukraine aid, he said he's not sure anything is going to change their minds. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
The House is on recess till the end of the month. Israel's running the clock now on Hamas to release hostages.
Israel has effectively issued an ultimatum to Hamas, warning that if the group doesn't make a hostage deal by Ramadan next month, the army will launch a ground assault on Rafah. Now, the U.S. opposes that, saying an attack on Rafah would endanger more than 1 million displaced Palestinians.
Correspondent Robert Berger reporting. The U.S. lost a drone off the coast of Yemen today. Houthi rebels claim they shot it down, but U.S. officials say it appears to have crashed. They're using those drones to spot missiles attacking ships in the Red Sea. I think we can all benefit from more sleep, but if you're not getting enough of it, experts say it could affect your heart health. Shelby Harris is a behavioral sleep psychologist.
When we're not sleeping as much, we tend to have more of the hormone ghrelin that makes us want to eat more and less of the one that tells us leptin that tells us to stop eating. So we eat more, we go for the higher sugar, higher fat foods, and that can lead to obesity and diabetes problems.
It's also linked to higher blood pressure. 1 in 3 adults have trouble sleeping. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law today. He says the result will be a legislature that reflects the will of voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our maps should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergencies. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, high upper 40s. And into more sunshine and a little warmer Wednesday, highs in the low 50s. upper 40s looking into Thursday with more sunshine than clouds. Currently, it's 37.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for a home matchup on Tuesday night against the Maryland Terrapins. And we can call this the stretch drive now of the regular season of Big Ten play. Five games remaining for the Badgers, three on the home floor, and just two more road games at Indiana next week, and then the regular season finale at Purdue on March 10th. Split week this past week, a home court win against Ohio State, and then an overtime setback against the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday. We always say that for those of us on the outside, the season does kind of fly. I mean, you've got still a quarter of the regular season left, and I know it's been, you know, a little bit rougher here of late, but you like this group, though. So it does, you look up and like, wow, it is getting toward the end of February.
It has gone by fast. You know, obviously some days a little faster than others. but no, I think they've handled it. We've said this 1,000 times. Everybody goes through some form of adversity, but I think just keeping the eyes focused forward and learning from what we're going through, and they've been very resilient, very respondent. They, you know, I thought we practiced really well yesterday. You know, we'll jump on it here again this afternoon as we record this, but you know, we understand, you know, what we need to get better at and be more consistent at. I think that's the other thing is, you know, we did a lot of good things offensively, specifically in the first half. But, you know, a few things to clean up defensively and obviously at the foul line, that's a little uncharacteristic of us to leave 9 points there. But you look back at the game against Iowa here, it was tight all the way through. So being tight there is not a surprise, because if you look at the final score, the game here was not indicative of how the flow of the game went. I think we didn't really get away a little bit until the last 5 minutes or so. So, you know, it's another learning opportunity for us, and get ready for Tuesday night.
As you look at this team defensively, there's still, I know Brian mentioned this, you know, Butchie, there are things that are correctable. I mean, sometimes it's just, this guy's not capable of this, that, or the other. But you guys as a staff, you see things that if a couple of things get a little bit better, it can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, we gave up 12 points in transition. Okay, we gave up 11 points by fouling jump shooters. We gave up 6 points by fouling after an offensive rebound. So there's 29 points that you can, as simple as those three things, and that's just at the surface of the onion, so to speak. And then you miss 9 free throws. Now we're at 38. And you can see the math doesn't go in the right direction. But yeah, there are, everything that has happened for us negatively is all correctable. And some things we've gotten better at, and some things we're not as consistently good enough at yet. And some of it's individual based, that guys are still, you know, getting, you know, their lessons learned, I guess, so to speak, is the best way to put it. And, you know, but we have to have all five guys. If you defensively are out of position with one guy, you know, better offensive teams are going to take advantage of it. You got to stay out of foul trouble. You can't have your most versatile defender in a Tyler Wall sitting next to our assistant coaches. So just little things that can be corrected, and like I said, responded very well yesterday, and now you got to keep looking forward.
Yeah, Tyler, what, 22 minutes in a 45-minute game? That's way, way below the average. And I would imagine, you know, when you look at the free throw shooting, there were a couple guys who were really good free throw shooters who missed a few. But you would take those guys at the line in a tight game in a heartbeat. If we're talking about Chucky, we're talking about AJ, It just, but it happens, right? They're
right.
human.
Right.
So you do.
Yeah, I mean, we've been on the, you know, we've been one of the better free throw shooting teams in the country in terms of percentage wise, and I think second or third in our league. So, you know, that's part of it. There's other things. That's not the only thing. That's a piece of it. You know, we had the ball point blank a few times too late and didn't convert. So, you know, a couple of rebounds that if we get them when we're, it's a 1-point game or a 2-point game, and we don't let them extend possessions and or don't foul on the ensuing possession to put them at the line. So just little things that, again, are all correctable. There's nothing here that is unreachable. We just got to continue to push and teach. I think that's the biggest thing, is you're constantly helping these guys try to get better.
You guys were able to overcome, and I bring up the goaltending call that was overturned or whatever. Right. You guys were able to come back and force overtime in the game, but I think it caught people a little bit off guard. At least some people, was that there was a goaltending call. They couldn't review it until the media timeout. And that was one of those things that when the rule was.
It's a bad rule.
Everybody's going, okay, when is this going to actually come into play? And the weirdness of it is going to come back to bite somebody. When something like this happens in a situation like that, is there any way that the rules makers get in the springtime, like, we need to do this right?
Yeah, that's part of my to-do list down the road here on my checklist, because we've had it happen twice. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't cost us in a game here, but it cost us a possession. You know, and I'm not saying that specific possession cost us Saturday, but we had the ball point blank, and that was my argument with the officials was, well, you took the possession away from us. We had caught it on the other side of the rim. We're ready to lay it in, and you blew it dead. So they have to follow and abide by what they think. But what needs to happen, they need to review it right there. If there's a doubt, you need to stop it. You can't let it go on and penalize a team that got the rebound, that had the ball. So it's almost like a double whammy. You get a basket taken away, and you get the possession taken away where you had the ball point blank to lay it back in. So that's obviously one of those consequences that comes from a rule that wasn't really well thought out of how it could impact a game and where you need to implement the review. I think the only solution is, unless you're going to take it out, that you can't review it. You have to review it immediately, unless it's just egregious where it's, you know, a no-brainer. But anything that's any in doubt at all, call it, review it. Go from there.
And this is one, it becomes top of mind because of Saturday, but I would imagine that coaching staffs across the country were cringing when they saw this, when they saw the rule.
Yeah, and you think of all the things, like most rules, you apply them to real life and real game scenarios.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not the only rule. We have some rules in recruiting and compliance that you don't, when you start to really apply it, it makes no sense to how life really is. So it's like I said, we there's a process and a channel we can go through to have them revisit it. I'm sure I'm not the only one that, if it's happened twice to us, I'm sure it's happened several times to others as well. So just something that has to be revisited and maybe a little better thought out and put in another addendum that in the book.
Yeah, fix it, right? I mean, it's there to be fixed, so fix it. On a more positive note, on the offensive end, Stephen Crowse put together two games now offensively. You know, 20 against Ohio State, had 22 against Iowa. It was a good match. Owen Freeman, really good freshman, and he had a good game for Iowa as well. But you're feeding him the ball, right?
Right.
Per your demand. I was going to say request, and it's not a request. It's like, get him the ball. But you're seeing a more assertive Stevie in there, too.
Yeah, I think he's been aggressive. He's been... team has done a good job. His teammates have done a good job of, you know, getting him the ball in right spots. And, you know, for the most part, he's converted. Shoot 13 free throws, you know, and play pretty strong at the rim. And I think Chucky Hepburn, too, has really started to – I've just noticed it in practice. There's a level of his game that he's starting to reach that we were all pushing towards, it first appears in practice, and you're starting to see it now more consistently in how he's playing in game day.
Yeah, he's scoring at a higher clip. But in the two games this past week, 10 assists, 1 turnover.
Yeah, and the job he's doing defensively.
Yes.
I mean, it's, you know, he's making up for another Ball Hawk and Kamari that we don't have right now. And I think John being out for a little bit, you know, he developed a little rust. So he wasn't as sharp, and he was more reactive than being proactive defensively. So that'll come back quickly as he practices more. But, you know, Chucky's laying everything on the line and really defensively doing a really good job spearheading us defensively, and we got to be better in behind him, and that's part of the things we've talked about earlier. But I like where he's going with his individual game.
We talked about it earlier. It's worth bringing up again because he really did reshape his body with what he's doing, and he talked about how that helped him get back from he had an injury. It was like right before Christmas, right? And that helped him be able to recover faster. And maybe as you get to this time of year where guys can get worn down a little bit, just the fact that he's really put together now,
right?
With what his exercise, the diet, and all that, that's you notice, and that's really starting to pay dividends.
I think he's not, the stamina is so much better than what it was in the past. I mean, his burst, his ability and desire to really hawk the ball and get that takes a lot of energy, takes a lot out of you when you really know he's trying to take a lot out of the other point guard too. So he wants to flip the script on what teams do to him. But, like I said, just his, but more than anything, I've just watched his mental approach, his mindset, his attitude, his positivity, his communication with the teammates, all of that has been a big jump in a very good direction. And now, like I said, we just got to clean up some of these other things around him and keep getting better.
I was talking to Isaac Lindsay last week about that. When Isaac's working the scouts, if he's the lead guard, he says that Chucky gets this look, and then there's just a certain look that he gets, body language that he gets, going, uh-oh, right. I better be ready. Isaac sees that up close.
Yeah, he does. He gets it face-to-face every day. That's the point. You set that tone in practice and how we need to be defensively and the ball pressure that he applies. And, he starts and ignites with that intensity out front, and that helps everybody else.
All right, we'll take a break a bit later. We'll visit with Connor Asijan. We'll also sit down with Brian Butch, but we are back with more with the Badgers head coach, Greg Gard, as we continue in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
This basketball season, let LRS be your MVP in the waste diversion and recycling industry. There won't be any turnovers when it comes to the services that LRS provides its valued customers, especially with services such as waste and recycling collection for businesses, roll-off dumpster rentals, and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction, renovation, or outdoor event. See the LRS difference by choosing the team with over 2,000 dedicated employees that puts trust and reliability first. LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader. Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar & Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar & Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Save big money on Clearview Cabinetry. Clearview Cabinetry starts as a kitchen built for now and grows with you as life changes. It's flexible by design with full access cabinet construction, so you can go from doors to drawers for storage that works when you need it. Explore Clearview's cabinet options in store and on Menards.com and save big money today. Check out more of our great deals going on now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
How do you master the game of basketball? With Ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We built a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
It's the Badgers and the Maryland Terrapins tomorrow night, Tuesday night at the Kohl Center. Our coverage starts at 7, tip time set for 8 o'clock. One and only regular season meeting, getting deep in the season, and you see the Terps for the first time. And, you know, Iowa plays one way. They like to score a lot defensively. They, you know, to their credit, they played better, certainly in the second half of the game, but they'll get into the 80s. Maryland's a team that might get in the 70s with you, but it's going to be hard to get into the 70s against Maryland, right?
Yeah, defensively, really a different approach, you know. It changed defenses a little bit of pressure, three-quarter court. But it doesn't take long watching the film. Just see how individually, just Jameer Young, maybe the best guard in the league. I mean, he's looked terrific. Talk about reshaping his body. We talked about that with Chucky in the first segment. Mm-hmm. Jameer appears to have done the same thing. And then you add in, you know, Dante Scott, who's in year, I think, number 6. And,
it feels like he's been around a while.
And then Julian Reese, you know, inside. So it's that group of three. And then you add in, you know, Geronimo, who transferred from Indiana, and some others that have filled roles. But it obviously, Jameer Young has been phenomenal, has had a terrific year, and you know, he is a handful.
Yeah, he's was left off on the list as a top 10 point guards, and we're like, huh, really? Yeah. Okay, but on the road, he really carries shoulders an even bigger load, it seems, for this Maryland team in terms of scoring.
Yeah, he's been, I don't know if I've watched a game yet in preparation where he's had less than 25, and most of them have been in the high 20s or over. I just finished the Michigan State game this morning, and he was in the 30s in that game, so yeah, he's in, you know, it's a high volume. His usage rate is one of the highest in the country, and rightfully so.
General question here. You guys, you defeated Ohio State last week. They made the coaching decision the day after. Jake Diebler, the interim, his team beats Purdue yesterday. You've been through this. Different circumstances, to be sure. But when you move over one seat in the midst of a season, what's Jake Diebler dealing with that you dealt with in late 2015 and on in the
his head's been spinning, you know, it's different. It's a lot coming at you. And I think the biggest thing that helped me was just to put blinders on, so to speak, to all the outside things on the periphery and focus on the team, you know, and focus on trying to, we were bumbling and stumbling during that time too. We think we were 7-5 and had not played consistently well. Just how can we help these guys, you know, reach their potential? What is their potential? I mean, we had lost a lot of guys off the previous year's team. So it was just a matter of getting back to basics, simplifying things, and really just focusing on them and really trying to shut out, as hard as it may be at times, shut out all the outside noise. Just the best time for me. I always wondered why head coaches in the past always said my favorite time is always practice, you know, and man, that's still to this day. I remember that year when that door shut in the practice gym, it was like you were in a sense of calm because you were in your environment, in your element, and all the outside stuff, the phone, the everything else was put aside. You could just focus on coaching and teaching basketball.
Easy segue there, because one of the guys I thought of right away when you said that is a guy who's now a finalist for the Naismith Hall of Fame. We recorded a television segment for that earlier today, Bo Ryan. I'll never forget it. It was either the day before or the morning of the first practice. It stopped up there for whatever reason.
And it was Christmas morning.
Right.
So, you know, and you know, he's the guy that he's fine with doing all the public stuff and all the mixers that you have to do as a head coach, but he goes, this is our day. It's right. You're on the practice floor. As long as you have that feeling.
Yeah, you know, as right long gig. As you exactly, and you get what it does. It takes you back to why you, because the first gym you walked into didn't have, or first arena didn't have 17,000 seats. You know, probably had mine had three rows of bleachers. You know, and might not have had bleachers on only on one side.
Right.
You know, I think we all, for the most part, people that have really made a career of this profession and been in it over the long haul. Really reflect back to, it takes you back to why you got in the profession. Why, what was the real meaning? It wasn't 17,000. It wasn't national TV. It wasn't, we didn't have radio with Matt LaPay. You know, we didn't, it was just,
the
know,
real good old days.
Yes, the real good right. old days. You know, it was the true meaning of you, yeah. You love the game and you love the sport and you wanted to help coach and teach.
Well, you just, the key word right there, teach, because that's how you consider yourself, how you view yourself. And Bo used to always say that I'm a teacher. The difference is I got guys in sneakers and shorts.
Right.
That's the difference. And it's a big part of it. And probably, I know, as I said, we did a television segment here, but it's why he is a Hall of Famer and hopefully will be in the Naismith Hall of Fame, because he never lost sight of that. Right.
Right. Right. No, he didn't change from, you know, like I said, I was with him 23 years and the same vocabulary, you know, the same way he taught, you know, the same, basically the same system. You know, there was tweaks here and there as time went on, but he stayed true to his core and stayed true to what he really believed in and wasn't about adamant change and you know, trying 10 different things. He got to a point where I think in his Platteville career figured out what really worked and what he believed in and just molded it and grew it from there.
He will probably say that he would struggle coaching now with the things going on in college basketball. I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt because he evolved, right? He didn't change. There were core values that weren't going to change.
Right.
But he evolved as the personalities, even here in Madison,
yeah,
changed,
yeah.
Right?
I think he, you know, he did. And we've talked about that several times, him and I, that, you know, just how it has changed so rapidly. And he saw it coming. You know, he was part of the national committees that kind of saw where we are today coming on the horizon and how we were going to handle it was the big, and we're still trying to answer that question. How are we going to handle it? How are we going to adapt? What's good? What's not good? So, you know, I think the foresightedness that group had, Izzo was on that committee as well. Phil Martelli was on that committee that's now at Michigan. But, you know, I think those older coaches were kind of caught in a generational quandary of old school versus what's coming here and how do you adapt? And this doesn't quite seem comfortable or quite seem right. So the basketball component of it, yeah, I think there's no, I mean, we're teaching and demanding and the same things that he did and some of the exact same vocabulary and what we emphasize. But it's the other parts that have changed mm-hmm. that ultimately affect who's on the floor for you and why they're on the floor. But I think from a basketball standpoint, yeah, the game hasn't changed that much. There's some offensive things that have changed, but you got to be able to take care of the ball, defend, rebound, take care of the ball. Mm-hmm. The rest of it gets all the sparkles on it, but it's really when you boil it down, the fundamentals still matter on both ends of the floor.
On a lighter note, when he's off the golf course,
which is
probably,
rare.
Yeah, I was going to say he's on much more than off. How often during the course of a season do you guys chat?
I would say, you know, it ebbs and flows. I don't know. Yeah. We don't have a weekly scheduled news conference or anything. You know, it's a text here or there. It's a phone call. I got the chance to talk to him Friday after the Hall of Fame finalists were announced. So sometimes, you know, he'll call me when things are rocky and say, hey, you hanging in there? You all right? Or sometimes when things are rolling, he'll call. And sometimes he says, I'm just going to leave you alone because I've been there too and I know what it's like. And it can be a lonely world. And keep chopping away.
He likes to, I know he watches a lot of games. He likes to watch the old games too, I think. Just kind of go back a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have enough. He needs more to do than watch. Yeah, he'll reminisce and throw in an old, maybe they're still on, he talks about DVDs. I swear he still has some 8-track or some
probably does.
Some betas and VHSs that he throws in from days gone by.
Yeah, I was talking to Josh Gosser was at one of your practices recently, and they had chatted, and it's like bringing up an old game. It just, you know, and hey, Badger fans probably do the same thing, right? You look back at if it's the, you know, the game against Pitt or one of the big, you know, the tournament games, that's how it works. So, and by the way, is of the finalists, that'll be announced early April as to who the next class will be in the Naismith Hall of Fame. There are 24 voting members, and each of the finalists, you need 18 of the 24. So that's what you need here, and it's a very impressive list. You got guys like Chauncey Billups and Vince Carter, Jerry West as an executive, Doug Collins as a coach and a broadcaster. But it's time. Just put it that way, right? It's
yeah,
time.
I mean, you just really, when you dive into it, I think those that have been close to it have kind of echoed that for a long time, and we've been able to, you know, with the efforts of a lot of people, kind of make sure his name stays front and center, and with attached with, it's not just a name, it's look at the body of work and what he's done, you know, and specifically probably as much as anything, the Platteville years. Those Absolutely. Were, as we talked about, the, yeah. I mean, I was with him through most of the 90s, and that stretch was video game like. Yeah. I mean, 90% winning percentage or whatever it was something that probably will never be touched again. You know, so it's that, and, you know, everywhere he went, he had a lot of success. So those guys need to be recognized.
Yep, fingers crossed for him. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with Badgers sophomore Connor Asijan. More to come as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
Sounds like another case of flu FOMO. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. It keeps you protected and also protects your loved ones. Protecting our community can't wait. So why get stuck inside with the flu? Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes! So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Coming up in a few minutes on the Greg Gard Show, we'll have our weekly chat with Brian Butch. But right now, we'll have a chance to hear from sophomore guard Connor Esigen out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Well, sometimes a season does not go as planned or does not go as hoped, at least so far. And it's safe to say that's the case for Connor Esigen, who last year, if you'll recall, was moved into the starting lineup and really played well, had some very productive scoring games for the Badgers, until by Connor's own admission, he wore down toward the end of the year, lesson learned about life in the Big Ten and major college basketball. So after a summer of work, hopes and expectations were high for Connor, but on opening night, he took a hard fall and aggravated a back issue, and that put him behind as he has been trying to work his way back to health, and then get back to that great scoring touch that he displayed as a freshman for the Wisconsin Badgers. Who knows, though? Maybe the best is yet to come for Connor. We've seen this before from players who have had quiet seasons and then suddenly emerge toward the end of February and on into March. Make no mistake, they're not giving up on him, and he has kept his head high. He's worked hard, both on the floor and in the weight room, and those efforts have not gone unnoticed by Greg Gard and the rest of the coaching staff. So when we had a chance to talk with Connor, we asked him about what he's been going through and that road to recovery and getting back out of the floor and being that Connor Esigen that Badger fans know and love.
Going through that is never fun. I mean, I personally haven't had many injuries, if any, much at all. Knock on wood. I'll make sure to knock on the court right after this. But that haven't really, you know, set me back too far. And so that was something new to me. And especially first game of the season, I'd worked extremely hard in the off season to become a better player, to help this team out, and for it to be taken and set me back. I mean, really, it was in my first couple minutes being in. It was different. It was different. It was really challenging. I mean, mentally, you know, physically, but what it did too was also help me lock in and better myself.
Was there a time, I don't know if anybody's 100% right now when you get to this point of the year, but when did you feel like, okay, I'm pretty close now. I feel like I can do the things on the floor that I need to do. I would imagine that took a little while, didn't it?
Yeah, with a back, it's never easy to come back quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, no pun intended.
I got you.
I mean, it's different because every little movement, every little something, you find a new way that it gets irritated. So it did take a while. I would say probably it was around the Nebraska game. Mm-hmm. Here at home was kind of when I started to feel a little bit, you know, mostly back to 100%.
Yeah, knocking down some shots in that game, yep. Too. It's pretty obvious, particularly as we sit here in the Kohl Center, when you guys play home games and you check in, there's a buzz in here. Like, people are excited to see you on the floor. I know you're locked in and all that stuff. You can't help but notice that, though, can you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can't. That can't go unnoticed. Right. It is something that, you know, I'm extremely blessed and thankful for, that the fan base and the community here embraces me and supports me so much. Part of that's because I've tried to make an effort to take in the Badger community as soon as I stepped foot on campus. But, I mean, it's just me being, you know, myself as well. I want to do, you know, as much as I can for this program to help us win and get it done. And so the energy that gets created, you know, when I come in is a great feeling. And I feel like that also really just helps, you know, the team. It gives an extra boost.
We talked, you said taking it all in here. I think we talked about that before the first game, that you like to be a college student, oddly enough. Like, people forget that. Like, you guys are still college students, and you like to go to volleyball, and you like that's important to you, isn't it?
Yeah, I've always been someone that's super – had a good time, enjoys being around, you know, people I'm friends with, going to support, you know, other athletes, you know, people that I have relationships with. And to be able to go and support, you know, other sports and just kind of enjoy the life here in Madison at Wisconsin. It really doesn't get any better than what's here in Madison. And, you know, to be able to have so many different options, to be able to enjoy, you know, life with my brothers and my teammates, you know, friends, you know, everybody. I mean, it's really, it's special and important to me to be able to grow those relationships and enjoy life outside of basketball and not really just focus completely on what's on the court.
Outside looking in, you seem like a great teammate because it's been, like, everybody wants to play 30 minutes. And last year, you were, as the season went along. If it's 7 or 8, 10 to 15, you're excited as long as your team wins. I mean, there's enough social media clips of the guys in the locker room, and you're jumping on guys, you're excited. That's important, right? I mean, if you score 12, 15 points or 2 or 3, as long as the Badgers win, Connor Asegin is a pretty happy dude, right?
Yeah, I've grown up, you know, my parents – raised me, you know, the right way to put people and serve others before myself. And I mean, I really am all about the team. It's something that I've grown up on. My coaches have always held me accountable to be that way growing up. And like I said earlier, I mean, these are my brothers. There's really no one I could be more excited for to do well and succeed than these guys on this team. And when someone does something well, I mean, I would want the same thing back for me. You know, me putting in everything I got for this team. I know what the guys do for this team. And so to support, you know, my brothers and my teammates, you know, to the max effort that I can is something that I value extremely well.
That's one of the favorite parts of a gig even that I have is watching, because you've used the term brothers a lot here. They're in the camaraderie when you're going through the ups and downs of a season, the bumps and bruises that everybody has. The fact that you guys all seem to genuinely get along doesn't mean there's not a spat now and then. That's how it works with family. But the fact you guys get along so well, that's got to be huge as you – navigate this schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we really are a family, and for us to be able to be so collected and together, losing four straight, you know, any other team that isn't as close as we are will fall apart. And we know what we are, we know what we got, and because we're so close, we're able to help pick each other up. When I was hurt, when I was going, you know, through a rough time earlier in the year, every single guy in the team had my back. Everyone was talking to me. Everyone was telling me to stay with it, keep doing what I'm doing. And so that commodity that we have as a team is extremely huge for what we've done so far and what our future will be.
Experience is golden. This is your second year, so I guess we can call you a veteran now, second year of college. What were some of the most valuable things that you learned last year that have helped you and will continue to help you as you move forward this season?
Honestly, I mean, taking care of my body is huge. Eating the right things, making sure that I'm recovering, getting extra lifts in, doing whatever it takes to make sure that my body feels good and feels right is huge. I mean, last year, obviously being a freshman, I didn't quite know what a college season was going to feel like due to my body. And honestly, towards the end of the year, my body was tired. And so now I was able to understand and know that I got to get my reps up every single day consistently, as well as make sure that, you know, my body is feeling right. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm still staying, you know, mentally 100% and physically as much as I can be 100%.
Interesting you say that, because Coach Gard, talking with him, he said that specifically about you. It's like, okay. It's like, you know, the work in the weight room, it looks like it's starting to pay off right now. The feeling here is that the best is yet to come for this team. I started this segment by saying if this team is going to reach the goals, I just got a hunch you're going to be a big part of it. But imagine, more importantly, you think you're going to be a big part of it, right? There's some big games here for you, right? You have to feel that way, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if I don't have that mindset and mentality, then it won't end up being that way, no matter what I do. And so, I mean, me having that confidence, you know, built in me and my brain to know that I'm going to be needed at some point. If I'm not ready, then I mean, you can't just get ready. You have to stay ready.
That's Badgers sophomore guard Connor Asegin. We'll take a break. When we continue with the Coach Guard Show, we'll talk with Brian Butch. He's next on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Yeah.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace.
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Block him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
Any team can be conquered with the right playbook. It takes human ingenuity to craft and adapt the plays that will defeat even the strongest opponents. The moves that dominate on the field, the court, the ice. And cancer treatment is no different. That's why UW Health Carbone Cancer Center uses ingenuity to combat complex cancers. As the number one cancer hospital in Wisconsin, we're proud to write the playbook on fighting cancer so you always have the number one team in your corner. UW Health. Remarkable.
At Shields, we know the basketball season is a full court press from tip-off to final buzzer. Each game presents an opportunity to see your Badgers take the court and compete for the win. So be there for every second to show your support head-to-toe in Wisconsin red and white. Shields has partnered with the Wisconsin Badgers to provide your favorite fan gear. So visit Shields in-store or online to start every game with a slam dunk. Shields, proud partner of Wisconsin athletics and basketball fans everywhere.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show, joined now by Brian Butch as the Badgers get ready for the Tuesday night matchup at the Kohl Center against Maryland. And I guess I've used the term regroup a lot here. And I think almost every team in the Big Ten, not named Purdue, has gone through this. Brian, they did, as you and Greg talked in the postgame, the Badgers did a lot of things well, particularly on the offensive end. But when they're not close to perfect on the offensive end, it glares on the defensive end. And credit to Iowa for finding a way, Tony Perkins making the big play late. But as you mentioned with us postgame, they can still fix a few things to be maybe not a great defensive team, but better than what they've shown.
Yeah, for sure. And it comes down to just simple things. Offensive rebounding, understanding to plug gaps. Said driving lanes aren't as big. They'll still be driving lanes, but how big are those driving lanes? What happens? How do you play together as five? I think you look at that, a big part of that is Tyler Wahl and what he's able to do. And when he obviously got in foul trouble against Iowa. But we've seen problems throughout the year, too. And it's one of those things, at some point, it's the correction that needs to happen for each other and how they're going about it.
And they get ready for a Maryland team. And we were talking about this postgame in Iowa City. This is a contrast where, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of teams can really vary. In Iowa, very, you know, under Fran McCaffrey, they've been a team that will score in the 80s with regularity. They have troubles in the defensive end. They got a Maryland team, and we're looking at basically the polar opposite, aren't we?
Yeah, you are. They have struggled to score the basketball, one of the worst in the country, but defensively one of the best in the country. And I think that's the thing that scares me a little bit about that game. And I use the word scares because I think offensively they've started to find their trend a little bit during that Iowa game. But the ball was moving, 14 assists of the 17 made buckets in the first half. Like, the ball was finding each other. You got to see what we saw for the majority of the year. And now you're going to go against a Maryland defense that's going to try to take that all away. So how do you continue to try to build confidence on that end as well as build confidence on the defense? Now, this is a game in Maryland or a team in Maryland where you can maybe build some confidence on the defensive end as well. So there's a good and bad to seeing two polar opposites as far as teams in back-to-back games.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, a guy like Jameer Young, who's one of the better guards, not to make, you know, some list, you know, he's just one of the better players, and he can really light it up on the road. So as much as they struggle scoring, and maybe he does that because he has to, but this is a guy, we've talked a lot, Brian, about the theme in the Big Ten this season where road teams really struggle, but a road player like Jameer Young, he seems to light it up when he's away from college.
Well, he's one of the best in the country, and you look at how he's gone about it. I mean, he had a game-winner shot against Iowa in Iowa City. He played, and it's because he knows he has to. Offensively, they've been limited. He's needed to take over. And for whatever reason, he's done a really good job on the road when he's had those games in front of him, which is the interesting part because usually it's the opposite, like you said. But I think he just knows that the ball's going to end up in his hand. He's got to make a play, and that's what he's done on the road, and that's going to be the challenge for Wisconsin. And I expect them defensively to come out, trap the ball, hedge the ball screens, play a drop coverage. Fly trap is the term they use. Everything that they've got in the defensive book, they're going to do.
Yeah, let's do a little 101 here because they've talked about that, fly trapping versus drop coverage. It would be better if we did this on a video platform, but I'll ask you to paint the picture of what the difference is there.
Yeah, so a fly trap, you come out and you're about level with the screener. You might be even one step below that, but you're level with them versus a hedge, you get sideways to that screener, so the guard's going to go around you. Now, the fly trap is a situation where the guard comes off the screen, and right away they see the big. Now, versus the drop coverage, that big isn't right up to the level of the screen. He's about two or three steps back in the paint. And what that does is it gives the big enough space so that guard can't go by you. Even in the fly trap situation, that guard, and a quick enough guard, can turn that corner and really get by the big and turn the hips of the big. Once the hips turn, all of a sudden the offensive player is one. In the drop coverage, there's no way that should ever happen. So that's kind of the adjustment that they've done.
So unless you are a really nimble big, the drop coverage would be the preference for the big?
The drop coverage, absolutely. And here's an example of it for every basketball fan out there. They've watched a lot of Milwaukee Buck basketball. Brook Lopez is in a drop coverage every time because his feet are a little bit slower. He's a little bit older. Those are a little bit tougher. Now, I think Steve is really good at the fly trap, but he's also probably just as good in that drop coverage. Now, I think a lot of it becomes how and when you're playing a guard. Mm-hmm. If you're playing an ultra-quick guard, then probably the drop coverage is best. If you're playing a guard that's ball dominant, maybe you want to change up a look. There's different things that you can do.
I want to change topics here in the remaining few minutes. We've talked with Greg about it. Bo Ryan's now one of the finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame. The 24 voting members on the committee, you need 18 who would check the box by your name to be in the Hall of Fame. But it's the next step. And I know a lot of Badger fans and, you know, people who know Bo personally are going to be, you know, kind of on pins and needles with all of this, but it's a good sign. And I'll credit Greg, really has moved forward with the effort to make sure that people in college basketball recognize what he's done.
Well, I don't think people don't think that he's in. I think that's part of the problem.
I think it's a big problem.
Right? Like, I think a lot of people, well, Bo Ryan's already in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yep. I think it's a common thought that's out there. And when you say he's not, now all of a sudden people go, well, we got to fix this. How is this possible? What, you know, and you look at it. And I think that's the biggest thing. I also think the Basketball Hall of Fame is a little bit NBA based at times. So I think putting some emphasis on college as far as guys that have had such a huge impact on the game at the college level needs to be emphasized a little bit more just so it can be put in the front of the people that are voting and understand what this is. And I think that's part of it as well. But, you know, hopefully Coach finally gets that nod to the Basketball Hall of Fame because we know what he's done, not just for the University of Wisconsin, but really everywhere he's been, Platteville and so on. And he's left an imprint. And he's affected so many people's lives.
Yeah, I feel like I've said this a lot, but his work at Platteville alone speaks volumes with the four national championships. And I would also say this about the 2 years at Milwaukee. And, you know, the situation wasn't great when he walked in there, and they really helped stabilize it. And it was on an upswing because of the work of Bo and Greg and, you know, Robbie Jeter, that whole group, what they're able to do there. So, and then obviously as with the Badgers head coach, all the Big Ten championships, the deep tournament runs, and never a year that was even really mediocre. You know, top four every year in the Big Ten.
Every year, and that's the standard now.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Wisconsin basketball is where it's at is because that's the standard that's put. Dick Bennett slowly started, Bo took it to a different level, and Greg now is continuing that. And that's the thing that Badger fans need to realize is that's not the same way in a lot of different places to have it be to have the longevity mm-hmm. that this program has had. And it's because of obviously the foundation of Coach Bennett, but then what Bo did to continue to say, this is what the expectation is every single year. I know my year's there. We knew we were going to finish in the top four. That was just where we were going to be, and we were going to compete for a championship every single year.
Yep, very well said. That's Brian Butch. We'll take a break, back to close things out on tonight's program in just a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Coming up tomorrow night in the Big Ten, in addition to the Badgers game against Maryland, Iowa on the road at Michigan State, a couple of games on Wednesday, Illinois with a tough
road win on Saturday against Maryland. We'll stay on the road. They'll be at Penn State. Nebraska is at Indiana. Thursday games, Rutgers at Purdue. Ohio State, fresh off the big win against Purdue, will be in the Twin Cities taking on Minnesota. Michigan hits the road to Evanston to play Northwestern. The Saturday slate, Indiana at Penn State. Iowa will be at Illinois. The one and only game this week for the Badgers, tomorrow night's against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage will start at 7 o'clock. Tip time is set for 8, and the Badgers will not play again until the following week when they make the trip down to Bloomington to square off with the Indiana Hoosiers. That will be 1 week from Tuesday night. So Wisconsin 9-6 now in the Big Ten, still in that position to get the double bye in the Big Ten tournament and wanting to add to the resume here beginning tomorrow night against Maryland. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from the Kohl Center on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers, and by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
You're going to...
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.